This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You guys ready to get started?
From the NFL Draft in Detroit, it's the Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NFL insider Adam Schefter, NFL Draft prospect Terrion Arnold, NFL Draft prospect J.J. McCarthy, CBS NFL analyst and NFL Network draft analyst Charles Davis, ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick. Still to come, 2024 NFL Draft prospect Romo Dunze, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's a fact. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Draft Week Special, live from Detroit at the Total by Verizon Studio. The draft is all about getting a contract, but when it comes to your wireless plan, take advantage of no long-term contracts with Total by Verizon. It's the power of Verizon, price to win. Find your local Total by Verizon store or switch at totallybyverizon.com. Today, hour number three is on the air from Detroit. Day one of three for us here at the NFL Draft. And joining us to kick off this hour from the University of Washington, courtesy of our friends at Sharpie, is Rome Odunze. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
And I'm glad to see you here in one piece since you flew the plane, right?
That's right. I flew the plane over here yesterday morning, and you know, I took some lessons since I got that question at the combine.
What is the history of this at the comp? Like, somebody asked you at the combine, what did they ask you?
They asked me if I would be able to land a plane in an emergency, and I said no, because that was the reality of the, you know, of my expectations.
And I assume it still is, you know.
Mean, I've took my lessons, and I think, you know, I'm a little bit better at it now, for sure.
Okay, but, very good. Yeah. And there you are with Caleb. So you just happened to be on That's the right. same plane?
That's right.
Was it from L.A.?
It was from L.A., yeah. Okay. Yeah, we flew out from L.A., and we just so happened to be on the same plane. And he tweeted that he'd seen me on the plane, said he was a big fan. So I had to let people know I was going to get him to Detroit safely.
Safely.
That's right.
And it's entirely possible you leave Detroit together, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
Do you guys talk about that, like, when at all?
A little bit, definitely. I mean, you know, he's trying to have a tremendous wide receiver core, which he'll already have, you know, regardless of how,
right,
you know, it shakes up. But definitely, you know, been in talks a little bit, just seeing how it would all end up. But definitely would, you know, be a fan of that.
Did you have a top 30 to Chicago?
I did.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
And how did that? How did you come out away from that?
It went well. I thought, you know, there was a sense of winning in the air, in the sense that, you know, they were going to make things happen, and the team was, you know, prepared to go all the way. And I think, you know, I could be a vital piece in that. But you know, they're looking to add a few, you know, weapons for Caleb, or, you know, some protection for him. So it was a good visit for sure.
Obviously, can go any direction. Who else have you personally seen, visited with?
I visited with the Cardinals, as well as the Jets and the Giants.
Okay, so you hit both New York teams.
Yeah, both New York teams.
Okay, so who'd you see when you were with the Jets?
I saw Sean Jefferson, the wide receiver coach, when I was out there. Okay. I met with the OC as well.
Was Rodgers there?
No, Rodgers was not there at the time. I think it was a week before OTAs had started, so he wasn't there. But
right.
There was a lot of confidence in Rodgers, as there should be. He's a Hall of Famer. So
that goes without saying.
Yeah. So
right.
I think they were, you know, kind of that same thing. They already have one of the best defenses in the league, so just looking to add a few weapons and, you know, like my game. But, you know, we'll see how it all shakes up.
How'd you wind up Washington?
I really wanted up there because of the coaching staff. Coach Chris Peterson and Junior Adams recruited me there, and I really just thought they were super genuine guys and great coaches as well. So I was looking for that in a college program.
It's crazy the journey you had at Washington,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
In terms of coaching changes, quarterback changes. And let's, if you don't mind, I'll give you the floor here to pound the table for your quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. So much conversation about what he can do at the next level and what he was unable to do at Washington, according to some. But I'll give you the floor to pound the table for him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what people are saying he's unable to do. I mean, the season before he was there, we were 4-8, and he came in with that offense, and 2 years later, we were in the national championship game. So I don't know if any team has ever done that in history before. But led by him. You know, I think he's my QB1. I really don't see how you can turn on the tape and say that there's anything on the field that he can't do at a high level in the NFL regarding his college film. And, you know, to speak on his personality, he's a leader of men, exactly what a quarterback should be in the
NFL.
I think, you know, through holding people accountable as well as, you know, being that guy that's encouraging. You know, I think a leader has to balance those things together where, you know, he knows that the standard is high and he holds us to that standard, but he also encourages us to go out there and play our best and be that voice for us to hype us up. So I think he's the balance between those two.
How quickly did you feel that when he showed up? How quickly did you sense that?
Immediately. I mean, I felt it before he was in there when they was turning on his film from Indiana. I was like, oh, okay. You know, I wasn't trying to, you know, give my poker face away when I was meeting with DeBoer and Coach Grubb. But, you know, I was sitting in the back of my seat like, oh, my goodness, what kind of the throws that he's making. And then when you meet him, you know, he's from, you know, Dade County, Florida, real family-oriented guy. So real genuine dude, and it was day one.
What's it like catching a ball that he throws? What is that like?
It's the most natural thing. You know, it really is, you know, a difference from quarterback to quarterback, how it's you're able to catch the ball from them just because of their release, you know, whether it's a deep ball, the angle of it, or whether it's a short pass, whether they're putting touch on it. He has the whole arsenal. So it was really natural, really easy.
Yeah, I mean, who did we have on recently that said his passes were like extended handoffs because he's so accurate? Somebody said that recently, right? I mean, all of our guests kind of bleed in together these days, but that was the way it was described. He's so accurate, and it is such a, you know, an easy football to catch.
Someone said he threw the most violent ball he's ever
that's another
seen.
One that like he throws he's
out of his hand.
Got one that the ball just explodes out of his hand.
He fires it out, and he can do it from, you know, any, you know, body position because he's so talented. He doesn't have to be, you know, set or anything, or, you know, as much as he'd want to be. He can do it from any position. I think that's what makes him so special.
Rome Odunze here on the Rich Eisen Show. What does a team get if they draft you?
You know, I think they get a very versatile and complete receiver, you know, one that hasn't hit his ceiling yet. I'm still, you know, gaining my skills and perfecting my game, but I think I'm entering the league at a pretty high point. So I think I have, you know, all the skill set from an NFL wide receiver perspective. And then I feel like in a locker room, I can get along with, you know, any group of guys and encourage, you know, any group of men to, you know, hold a specific standard and strive for something great, which is exactly what I did at Washington.
Well, I'm sure. How are you handling the conversation about, well, there's Marvin Harrison, and well, there's Neighbors, and oh yeah, Odunze's in there too, and he's a top 10 guy. How do you handle hearing your name sometimes not being the first out of people's mouths at the wide receiver group?
Yeah, that's okay. You know, everybody has their opinion. For me, I believe I'm wide receiver one, and I think the film has said that, and I think through the performances throughout the combine and all the different things that I've done throughout this process, I've continued to prove that fact. But everybody has their own opinions, right? And they're great receivers as well, and I want to see them succeed. So at the end of the day, it is what it is. But for me, I think, you know, based on the film and the things that you can actually see, even wide receiver one.
Why'd you do the combine?
I did the combine because I felt like I had to prove to people that, you know, exactly that I was wide receiver one. And I think I had a great performance there at the combine. You know, I beat you in the 40, so
yes, you
that
did.
Was I feel like after that I was definitely number one.
Well, I mean, you know, if you are going to throw out to people why you're wide receiver number one and your speeds being one of them, I would say go further down on the list that you're faster than me.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because that's kind of, I would imagine, understood.
Yeah, okay.
You
so
know
something a little bit, okay.
Right.
Better.
But,
okay.
But no souls perished when I run.
That's true.
I mean?
That's true.
Just to use your phrase.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Okay. No, yeah. So you have seen me run. Then,
I have. Multiple times, yeah.
And?
Yeah. Form's good. I mean, I think you might need to get some athletic gear for one of these years. I mean, you're running in a suit. I mean,
I don't know.
It's kind of the brand.
It's not the brand. I mean, yeah. I mean, that is the logo of the show.
20 years in a suit. Dude.
Who wants to see me in athletic gear?
Yeah, I mean, nobody.
You're not supposed to answer that question.
The thing I didn't know.
But yeah, the suit acts like a parachute.
It does. You kind of look like a superhero a little bit, like call to action.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. But so you think my form actually is?
Yeah, actually, you got solid form. 100%.
He went higher
super
register.
Super higher register.
Yeah. When you go higher register on our show, we point out if you go higher register, you don't really believe what you're saying.
Yeah, okay.
It's great.
You do have great form.
Thank you.
You do have great form.
See, he went.
Perfect. You do have great form.
Yeah, I think you'd be a good pilot. You know what I mean?
Nice. Fantastic. And so now that you're getting set for this draft, you're going to be in the green room tomorrow night?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Nice.
Who's going to be with you?
I got my grandparents, my parents, my girl, my brothers, aunts and uncles there as well. So got some people in the theater as well. So a bunch of family.
So you're plus how many? What is
plus
your?
Seven, 19.
Ooh. 19.
Ooh. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I'd used up as many tickets as I could.
I was about to say, so who's been in charge of making sure the 19 are handled? Not you, right?
I mean, all my people. I mean, me as well. You know, they've been in the works. My mom and pops are all kind of coordinating it. But it's not as, you know, big as the Pac-12 championship game. I had like 80 people there.
80?
So, yeah, so
okay.
It's not as bad as that.
What does this moment mean for your folks?
Oh, I think it means a lot. You know, they've seen me, you know, from when I was little playing football when I was 6 years old to getting to this point. They've seen, you know, the adversity and all the things that I've gone through to get to this point. So it's a tremendous accomplishment. And I think they know and I know as well that, you know, this isn't the stop. This isn't the end of,
right,
you know, my tenure. It's just the beginning, you could say.
But just to watch you finally get this dream,
yeah,
right? Have you been... When you were six, that's what you were dreaming of?
That's right.
Tomorrow night?
That's right. Yeah, since I was six, you know, I dreamed of initially being an NFL quarterback, but as a wide receiver, that'd be that's a pretty good consolation prize. So, yeah, I've been dreaming for a long time.
So who was your quarterback when you were six that you wanted to be like? Who was that guy?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I mean, probably Mike Vick. I wanted to be like Devin Hester, so I was just a quarterback, but Devin Hester... You know,
yeah,
inspired by.
That's
yeah,
right. Well,
yeah,
maybe, you know, with the new kickoff rules, maybe you'll go back there and you can do some Devin Hester things.
It's true. Yeah.
I don't know if your new team's going to want you to do that, but I'm just throwing that stuff out there.
Yeah, no, something that's in the cards for sure. And who knows? I mean, hopefully with the new change to it, there'll be some exciting, you know, kickoffs and stuff like that.
Man, if you're a Bear and you say in your first press conference, I wanted to be like Devin Hester. That's the good stuff. Throw that out
there. That's
the
good stuff.
Yeah. If you're a Bear guy, you start talking about Devin Hester. He's going in the Hall of Fame. What are you doing with Sharpie? What are you doing with them?
I'm with them. I've been working with them for a minute. We were able to, me and Mike, both be with them. You know, they're just going to be along with me my entire, you know, rookie season, being there for all the important moments that I'm signing, you know, my contract, using the SJ pen. It's very important to me because, you know, I like an elite pen. You know, when I'm taking notes, when I'm signing things, I like it to be elite.
Me too,
so,
man.
The SJ pen, it allows me to do that. No smear, no smudge.
I like it.
Yeah.
I spoke to Mike this morning. On Zoom because he couldn't make the live show.
Right.
He said, you know, he's a lefty. It's very important not to have the smudge.
Exactly.
Which I thought was a good line out of him.
No,
I liked
it.
Oh, no, good pen. If I don't have a good pen, it drives me crazy.
Oh, you need one.
I am like that guy. See, you and I are kind of like that.
We're right there.
We're fast.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If we both can't fly planes and, you know, although on national championship night, we had to go our separate ways. You know, I'm a Wolverine.
Yeah, that's all right. I mean, you had the better night, so.
Understood. And listen, you're going to have a great career. I'm looking forward to it. New York City, Chicago, there's so many awesome spots that you're being mocked to land in.
Absolutely.
And I hope you get to go wherever you want to go.
Yeah, thank you.
Fantastic. What you say, I just, my producer got in my ear, you put a photograph together? What do you got? You put something like that? Oh, there I am. There you go. So that was me on Sunday at the Rose Bowl.
Okay.
Now, you've performed in the Rose Bowl yourself.
Yeah, I have.
Okay, very good.
Did you like the surface? You liked it?
I thought it was fast.
It was fast. I agree.
It was a fast turf. You were there as well?
I totally agree.
What do you think? Like right there.
I mean, I think it looks great. You see, you're very even. You know, you got your arm coming up and the one extending back, getting full extension there.
Too straight. My hands are too straight, right?
Yeah, it looks like you're a little tense there. Keep them natural. Keep them natural for next time.
And, okay.
I mean, I truly do want to see you in some sports gear, you know, go out there and give your best performance. But
okay,
if the suit is signature, then, you know, it is what it is. But what was that, six?
That has not been revealed just yet.
Okay.
It has not been revealed yet. That's on Saturday, and
okay,
we're trying to raise
over,
as much money
on that
in between
one?
That. Yes, so.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. Good to see you, Rome.
Yeah, good to see
you.
You
got
too.
It. Everybody, round of applause for Rome.
Hey,
Jay.
Yeah,
good luck to you, courtesy of Sharpie, right here on the Rich Eisen Show, sitting right now, getting ready to join us. Tom Pelissero, my colleague from the NFL Network and NFL Media Group. We're live here on the Roku channel, back with more on this Wednesday at the draft. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku channel. He's here, everybody.
Hey!
Tommy P is here.
Tom Pelissero making the very bold choice of having no socks on right now. And that is bold, sir.
It's so cold in the deep.
30 degrees outside. What the hell are you doing?
You know, I'm more concerned with tomorrow when I will be outside for TV.
But what do you, I mean... Look at this.
He's from Minnesota.
I understand
this ain't
that.
Nothing for Tom,
I think that anytime
way,
you can show off a little bit of ankle, especially on your show, Rich.
Understood.
Ratings gold.
Those are elite ankles. Those are,
I appreciate that.
Those are elite.
We call those athletic ankles.
Okay.
AAs.
What?
AAs. Athletic ankles.
You could do that next week when you're sitting in the show chair on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Well, now I have
week.
To.
No,
I'm
you
pretty
don't
sure.
Have, but no one will see.
You can wear shorts.
You can wear shorts on the
It's even bolder to cross the leg to get the suit.
I figured you wanted to see the full
like,
inseam.
We're almost getting
maximum calf.
This is, what is happening?
You might as
we're on Roku. There's no rules here.
You should just wear culottes today. I mean,
what is happening?
Wow.
But seriously, that's a choice.
Bold.
Well, that's a choice. Nice suit. I think the whole thing works.
I'm just trying to give you material.
Come strong, don't come
Clearly
with us.
Clearly not. Right. You have no material on. It's the lack of material
lacking,
that we're talking
material.
About right
Looking
now.
Looking sharp, Tom. Don't let him fool you.
Yeah, Tom.
Appreciate
I'm not,
that. TJ's always on my side.
That's my man.
It's very Cliff Kingsbury, COVID draft. Cliff Kingsbury. Remember that? Where you're sitting there with his low
feet
and socks on.
The fire outside where it's 110 degrees in the backyard and you got the fire going.
Hey, Kingsbury's hair could never.
No,
lit the fire pit.
Could never touch
I'll
Tom's
take
hair.
My hair over Cliff's
That's
hair.
What I'm saying. His hair.
He's also got a strong suit game.
His hair could never touch yours.
Listen,
no way.
Nobody's touching your hair. I mean, seriously. Pomade versus pomade. Nobody can touch
CeCe did a great job back there. I said just keep the height. That's how I judge my hair is my height.
Especially since she's definitely not used to doing any hair on the Rich Eisen Show. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Having a lot of fun sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And look who has stopped by, our favorite Tom Pelissero, back here on the program, NFL Network Insider, part of the NFL Network draft coverage again that begins 8 Eastern time when the Bears go on the clock Thursday night. Greatly appreciate having you here.
Thanks for having me.
So the general sense right now, like, what is it like for you? I mean, we had Schefter on in hour one, and he we were telling you off the air, he had one of those calls where it looked like, of course.
You don't think it was the stage call that he set up to look like he's really busy?
I want that to really be the case.
Like, he set his alarm to ring for 10 minutes.
He just called me right in the middle of my hit on the Rich Eisen Show.
9:12, you know, Pacific.
I'm the call Tom right now.
It's nonstop because everybody is trying to figure out what everybody else is doing. And
people, folks use you for your information in a way.
They'll call and, you know, sometimes they're asking questions where you can kind of tell that they are trying to get at something that they're trying to figure out. Other times it's, you know, they talk about other things and maybe try to lead you down the wrong path. There's a lot of that. But I think that, you know, a big piece of it is they've done all their homework on this stuff. Like,
right.
You know, the whole idea that, you know, teams will put out stuff intentionally to, like, mess up the draft board, get guys to fall. It doesn't happen because every team's done their evaluations. Everybody's got their own board. All they're trying to do now is figure out where the hot spots are going to be at certain positions. You know, if you're in the quarterback market, where are the quarterbacks going to go? If you're in the corner market, when do those guys start going? How many wide receivers go in round one? And you'll get completely different answers from team to team. And part of that's because everybody's got their board set differently. Yes. They got different grades. You're not going to find, you know, in any draft, but especially this draft, you're definitely not going to find 32 guys with first round grades in any building. But there are some players that are going to be much higher on one team's board than another's. I mean, Michael Penix Jr. is a perfect example where, I mean, I talked to people who had him as the number two quarterback. I talked to people who had him as the seventh quarterback. And that's real because it's, you know, with him, it's how he plays and it's rhythm and it's in the pocket. And if you believe in that and you got a really good offensive line, you got weapons around him, he can distribute that football. If you prefer a quarterback who's going to get out, use his legs, extend plays, that's probably not your guy. But, you know, the gamesmanship of this entire thing, I think, is less about leaking false information or trying to get people to say things that are untrue. It's more so just trying to figure out, once you're in it and teams are on the clock, how is this whole thing going to fall? And do I need to move up to get my guy? Am I safe to move back to get my guy? I talked to a GM a short time ago who I don't think is taking a quarterback. Possible. I don't think he's taking a quarterback. But he said, you know, you just can't get too cute when it comes to the quarterback. Like all this discussion about, well, the Patriots could trade down and then trade back up. Maybe, but you also might cost yourself somebody here. There's a risk factor that's involved with that, especially at the quarterback position. If you think you've got a franchise type of guy, you got to make sure you get him.
So three in a row to start, your best guess. Let's play best guess with Tom Pelissero, everybody.
Love it. I would be shocked if it's not three in a row at the top. Now, Caleb Williams to Chicago, barring an act of God. Washington, nothing's 100%, but I would say certainly a high percentage chance, and the belief within the league is Jaden Daniels goes at number two. Then that puts New England up at number three. Certainly Drake May to New England is a strong possibility. You have other teams like the Giants and the Vikings that have an interest in moving up. But if, you know, if it's not Jaden Daniels that's still there at three, I don't think the Raiders are in the mix to move up. I don't think the Broncos are in the mix to move up. If anything, the Broncos trade down in the various scenarios that exist right now. Then the real question becomes, if it's chalk, one, two, three,
yes,
those three quarterbacks.
Drake May being the third.
Drake May be in the third.
Yes.
The really interesting part becomes, where does J.J. McCarthy go? He's going to go, my belief, somewhere between 4 and 11. In other words, you could potentially have, whether it's the Vikings, whether it's the Giants, somebody saying we just have to go up and get him because you have the threat of multiple teams that are in that mix. Or if the Vikings believe the Giants aren't actually going to take J.J. McCarthy, you could sit there and wait. You could see if he just comes to you at 11. And again, there's risk factor involved in that because somebody else you're not expecting could vault up ahead of you here. This is a really rare quarterback class where you've got, depending who you talk to, six or seven guys here who are legit, can be NFL starting quarterbacks. And they're going to come off the board quickly here. It then becomes, all right, at what point do some of those other guys start to get pushed up? I believe Michael Penix goes in the first round, and I think that it's at least 50-50 that Bo Nix comes off the board on Thursday night as well.
So best guess, Tom Pelissero, the inflection point, the first inflection point in this draft is where, at which pick?
Well, I think that it comes down to 4 and 5 and whether the Cardinals or the Chargers can trade down from those picks. Because we know Monty Austin Ford's open for business with Arizona.
They have 11 draft choices, though, and Marvin Harrison Jr. sitting there, and Hollywood Brown's the Kansas City Chief now. I mean,
let's say you've got those three receivers, though, graded pretty similarly, because you'll find those guys in different orders on different boards.
Yes.
If you believe Marvin Harrison Jr. is above and beyond the best receiver by far in this draft, then sure, you stand in there and take him. And I'd say, sitting here right now, not knowing exactly what's going to take place at 4 and 5. So that's the most likely scenario, as Marvin Harrison goes to Arizona. But if you got those guys graded similarly, and let's say the Giants are willing to trade up from 6 to 4 to go get their guy, do you go, all right, we just picked up an extra high draft pick, and we're still getting one of the top wide receivers in this draft? That's the unknown part of it. Is different teams do it different ways. There are a lot of teams that stack their board horizontally and vertically, and part of that is to make sure that you kind of know the players you've got grouped together. In other words, if we get one of these three, we're good. Or, hey, this guy is so far above and beyond, we can't run the risk of losing him, so we're not going to move. Again, it's the strategy of how the draft plays out, but in a lot of ways here, Monty Austin Fort is sitting on the number one pick in the draft, the number one non-quarterback pick in the draft. And there's going to be value in that if, in fact, there's somebody willing to trade up. If not, he can take anyone he wants. Marvin Harrison Jr. is certainly a pretty good bet.
Tom Pelissero of NFL Network here on the Rich Eisen Show. Best guess on how many trades occur in the top 10?
Within the top 10, it's going to come down to, does somebody trade up for the fourth quarterback? or do the Patriots get blown away with an offer? To this point, they've not gotten the offer that's made them consider moving. Is there an offer out there? Is it Mike Ditka style, your next two drafts to move up? That'd move a lot of different people. But we know Robert Kraft said publicly they want to get a quarterback here. I would say I'd put the over-under. This is not betting advice, just to make abundantly clear here. One and a half trades in the top 10. I don't think it's going to be completely wild, five trades and, you know, Monty going up and back like he did last year, just because, you know, there's a bunch of teams that it seems would like to trade up and make sure they get an offensive lineman. There's a whole bunch of offensive linemen, six, seven guys that are going to go in round one in this draft. You've got a bunch of teams that are interested in the corners. I'm just not sure that those guys get pushed up into the top half of round one. And there's a whole bunch of teams that would love to trade down. The Cardinals have been open to it. The Chargers would love to trade down from five. The Broncos at 12 would love to trade down. There's some GMs like, you know, Seattle with John Schneider, who every year the Seahawks seem to trade down. They're sitting there at number 16. They could be a candidate to trade down as well. You know, at the top of two, there's a bunch of wide receiver needy teams. I would say this. I think we get more trades. There's more possibility of trades in the bottom 10 than the top 10, just because you look at the number of teams that need a wide receiver who are at the top of two. Plus, if Bo Nix is sliding down into that bottom 10 in the first round, there could be somebody who decides to vault up and get the fifth-year option. I think you'll get a lot of action down there in the 20s, would be my prediction for tomorrow.
All right, and I'm sorry if I'm cannibalizing any of your what's more likelies that's coming up. Have I broached?
That's close.
Okay. Your best guess, Tom Pelissero, more wide receivers or quarterbacks taken in the first round?
I had this conversation with a GM who told me I was out of my mind on this, but when I ran through it this morning and placed the guys where I think they're going to go, I came up with seven wide receivers in round one. Because you've obviously got the top three guys everybody's talked about, with Marvin Harrison, the guy you just had sitting in this chair, Rome Odunze, who kept it warm for me, which I appreciate.
Especially since you're not wearing any socks.
Right, exactly. And you got Malik Nabers, who is also going to be a high draft pick here.
That's three. You got the kid from Virginia.
Brian Thomas Jr., the other LSU wide receiver. That one's got a little bit more variance. He could go in the middle of round one. He could go at the end of round one. But I think that in all likelihood, he gets taken. You got Keon Coleman from Florida State. Who's dropped out of every mock draft since he ran 4.6 at the combine. But the fastest guy in the gauntlet drill this year. When you talk to coaches, coaches really like him. He was a basketball player at Michigan State. He hasn't filled out totally because he was training for two sports. So he's got room to grow. He's a big guy, and his play speed is really fast. He's one that I think everybody's going to sleep on here. I would not be surprised at all if he comes off later on in round one. Xavier Leggett, another one from South Carolina. He's the guy who did run fast. He ran like 4.39. He's a bigger guy, 1 year of production. But I think that he ends up getting vaulted into round one. And then there's somebody else who's going to go. It's probably Xavier Worthy would be the seventh, the fastest guy and one of the cleanest prospects.
What about the other Texas wide receiver? What about Adonai, you know, what about Adonai Mitchell? What about him?
He's another possibility. So is Ladd McConkey. Right now, if I had to guess, I'd say they're probably into two, but they're all, that's what I'm talking about with, there's going to be a run on wide receivers, let's say from like the early 20s straight through 40. How quickly do those guys go off? And once they start going, as you know, all of a sudden then everybody might panic and decide, we got to trade up or we're going to run out of all these. It happened last year when there was that run of picks between Quentin Johnston, Zay Flowers, and somebody else went three picks in a row in the 20s.
Yes.
And it's because teams looked at this and are going, well, if we don't go now, we're going to miss out. And so people get aggressive with trades.
Huh. So you're saying more receivers than quarterbacks?
I would say more receivers than quarterbacks. I think this was one of his questions.
Is it?
But I still have six quarterbacks.
Sorry, did I hit you? Did I hit it? Okay.
No, I don't know. Five or six quarterbacks, and I would say six or seven wide receivers in round one.
All right, Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. A best guess of a veteran player who gets traded. Seems happens every year, and it seems like the Eagles are always involved in one. That's 2 years in a row.
Well, Howie is in on every single deal.
DeAndre Swift last year, and obviously A.J. Brown being the blockbuster a year before.
A couple of years ago. Hollywood Brown was also traded that night in the deal that nobody even remembers, because that was the second trade. It was like seven picks later, I want to say. A.J. was, I think, pick 18, and Hollywood was pick 25. There's a bunch of receivers that are, for one reason or another, potentially available here. Brandon Ayuk is certainly on that list. We know John Lynch has said we want to keep him, have him be a 49er for life here. But look at where the wide receiver market is going. You got Amon-Ra St. Brown's deal got done today. We'll see the real numbers on that. Mm-hmm. But from a cash flow perspective, it's like a legit $28 million a year deal, which is a lot for a guy who plenty of people within the league consider to be a slot. If a Justin Jefferson deal gets done, it's going to be up in, you know, the mid-30s somewhere. It's going to be a monster deal. If you're Brandon Ayuk, you know, arguably you're not the most important wide receiver on your team because Debo is there. It's complicated to get the numbers right. I don't anticipate the 49ers deal him for a low price. You know, we've seen Keenan Allen got dealt for a fourth. We've seen a bunch of day three stuff. That would not be Ayuk. If
Diggs got sent for a two, right? So
it was a two, right, with another pick coming back.
Correct.
I believe Ayuk, if he gets traded, it's for at least a first-round pick. Hmm. That's a high price when you also have to pay that guy near the top of the wide receiver market. But that's certainly a possibility. We know that Cortland Sutton is not overly thrilled with the situation in Denver as he goes on his 10th starting quarterback there during his time. He would like his contract adjusted. To this point, there hasn't been a lot of movement in that. Could Cortland Sutton get traded? The Broncos have said they think they're in a good place with him, but it's certainly within the realm of possibility. You know, there's some of those types of deals. I would say the wide receiver position in general is one to watch because some of these teams also are going to miss out on those wide receivers in round one because they're going to go so fast. Maybe there's a veteran out there that they go get.
What's the scoop with Dallas? Do you want to give a shot at Jerry Jones's press conference from yesterday? His response to Jane Slater's question in particular is one that we played on yesterday's show and has gotten some traction about being an option quarterback, and he's not yet ready to pitch it. He needs to see more. Needs to see more leaves.
Leaves fall off the trees. Yeah. I enjoyed when he said we're all in.
He said it six times.
And if you look at Mike McCarthy's just sitting there and then just goes. The full-on like Kermit T meme. It was like, okay, yep, he's heard that all along. What are we all in with? We got we signed Eric Kendricks, and so our starting center and our starting left tackle and our starting running back,
Royce Freeman
on a minimum deal coming in, maybe a factor in the return game. They'll sign and/or draft a running back. They're still going to be active at that spot. But if you're Dallas, you're in the need territory in this draft. You know, a lot of people have mocked Graham Barton, the Duke interior offensive lineman, to them just because they lost their starting center. They also lost their starting left tackle. You need to start there if you're going to have a chance through the course of this season here. Running back may not be the highest priority. Mike McCarthy said, love to get one of those running backs. Well, can you justify taking a running back in the second round when you've got all those other needs of premium positions around him?
Well, it would have been helpful to maybe create the cap space by re-signing your guys that are going to be only more expensive as you wait for the leaves to fall, you know, and thus hit somebody in free agency of significance.
The last deal I remember Dallas really getting done early, and this is a little different situation, was Jalen Smith. And that's going back a ways.
And maybe that's why they're a little gun-shy, do you think?
Well, that did not obviously work out. And a couple of years later, he's off the team. This has been how Jerry's done business in recent years, which is you push it and you kick the can and you worry about the problems later. Dak's first deal. Now, they did make a run at it earlier, but they ended up having to tag him twice before they actually got the long-term contract done, which ended up being a shorter-term contract than Dallas always does. Why? Because Dak and his agent had the leverage in that case. Now they've got the maximum leverage in all this, which is he is going to become a free agent. He would be, because technically they had to use the second tag because they didn't sign the deal in time. They didn't paper it in time. So it will be a third tag, not a second one for Dak next year, which is 144% of his current cap number, which is like close to $90 million. So that's not happening here. He is going to be a true, unfettered free agent. He's going to be the Kirk Cousins unless they're able to ramp this thing up. With CeeDee Lamb, the prices are just going to continue to get more outrageous. That's going to be $30 million plus per year. And you still got to sign Micah Parsons on top of this as well. That's what the explanation has been from the Cowboys, which is we're saving to pay the core types of players here. But Dak's as big of a core piece of the team as you can possibly imagine. And right now, looking at it, if you were guessing, and you hate to project things this far out, but it's hard to imagine that Dak Prescott's the Cowboys quarterback in 2025 if things don't change.
Really? You really believe that?
He's going to be an unfettered free agent. The Cowboys, to this point, have not made substantive strides toward getting a long-term deal done with him. He can pick any team that he can go to. And maybe Dak wants to ride things out. with the Cowboys. Maybe he'll come back on whatever deal they put in front of him. But we know this about Dak at this point. He's willing to go to the wall on contract matters. He's willing to play on a franchise tag, even when he busts up his ankle. He's willing to wait and wait for the right deal. It's certainly a possibility they could bring him back next year. But if Dak Prescott hits free agency like Kirk Cousins did this year, I would envision, nothing for sure, but I would envision that it plays out much like Cousins, which is the Vikings were willing to make an offer, but there was another team that was willing to blow that offer out of the water.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. You good with that?
No, but...
So say it again. No, no, your mic is not on right now, but you're saying the Patriots?
He's saying
the Patriots draft Marvin and then sign Dak in free agency. Who says no?
New England?
Dallas?
They're not going to do that. You think, is there any chance?
Come on,
New
Tom.
England, he's so desperate for New England to take Marvin Harrison and not take a quarterback because he's so nervous the quarterback's not going to be the right one.
Anything is possible, but that would qualify. When you said what's the surprise, the shock going to be, that would be the biggest shock. I have not talked to anyone in the league. Again, doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. We've seen weird stuff happen before. I haven't talked to anyone in the league who believes that if the Patriots stay at number three, they don't take a quarterback in all likelihood. That would be Drake May. There's still a lot of twists to this. I mean, even Washington at number two, you can't say with 100% certainty what it's going to be. I believe it's going to be Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
The signs point toward Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
One of those four quarterbacks who visited for the Topgolf trip got picked up at the airport by Dan Quinn, and the other ones took a shuttle bus to the hotel. That was Jaden Daniels that was picked up by Dan Quinn.
Oh.
There's a lot of things that point toward Jaden Daniels being the guy for Washington at number two. If he's not, if there is a scenario where Drake May or even J.J. McCarthy goes two, then you have chaos. Because then the Raiders, specifically Antonio Pierce, are going to be pushing hard to find a way to come up to number three. And if you're the Patriots, as much as you don't want to trade from three down to 13, you would have such a haul put in front of you that it would be a really interesting decision, albeit one that I don't, sitting here right now, I don't envision they're going to have to make.
Did Dan Quinn hold up a Jaden Daniels sign?
I would think.
How have you not asked that follow-up question? If you have that information, how do you not say, did you hold a sign up? Did you have it on
the there are some anonymous head coaches in the league. Like I saw Dave Canales was telling stories today about being in the room with players, having dinner with Deontay Johnson, and then realizing at the end of dinner, Deontay Johnson didn't know who he was the entire time. Dan Quinn, I feel like, is recognizable enough.
What? He did not know who his new head coach was?
He had no clue. I mean, you've seen Dave. Now, Dave also does not wear socks, by the way. I'm just trying to keep up with Canales here.
Okay.
No, but he's a, you know, he can blend in. I feel like Dan Quinn is a known type of thing, and immediately you hear his voice and you see him, like you probably know.
Yeah.
These guys, though, they get flown all over. I mean, there's players with 12, 15 visits. I imagine your head is absolutely spinning at some point when you're visiting all these teams trying to figure out where you are.
Thanks for the time, Tom. I'll see you later on tonight. See you all throughout the week.
Beautiful.
And
can't wait.
You're the best. And again, because I'm with Roku for a couple days in New York next week. You'll be in the Rich Eisen Show chair for 2 days after the draft.
Tonight. Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll recap all of it. See these boys. Get some tacos.
Taco Tuesday. Let's go.
Bring some socks. It's going to be cold. What's more likely to wrap up this show? What will be more likely to happen in this draft on Thursday night? Chris Brockman will hit me up with that as we wrap up our first day from Detroit in a matter of moments.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
It's very rare that I begin an interview with somebody asking, who's your real estate agent? But, Coach, who's your real estate agent?
Lisa Roberts. She does a great job. Did anybody in Scottsdale need the spot?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Free plug.
Man. I mean, this is... this is the spot. This is you got a guest room?
Apparently, yeah. There's a couple. You're always welcome there.
I appreciate that. The question I have for you is the fire in the background.
That was extra. Yeah, that was extra.
Now, does it light up when you draft Isaiah Simmons? Or, I mean, like, yeah. Is that what happened?
Yeah, the whole house lit up when we got that pick. We were fired up.
I bet. Like, you're like, fire up the coals. Fire up, you know, that probably had to happen. Who took this photo? People want to know.
Yeah, we had, you know, you were allowed to have one IT guy there okay. at your house. So it was one of our IT guys that took it.
And he stayed in the cabana, the IT guy?
He did not stay at the house.
Did you light the fire or did you light the fire? We're all fascinated. This is fascinating to everybody.
It is fascinating, isn't it? Yeah, I lit the fire.
Okay. Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead and ask.
And Cliff, did you get in the pool at any point?
I did not get in the pool. That's maybe next year.
What's the one, I guess, a comparison you've heard about the photographs before, I guess, we give one? What it looks like to people. What have you heard the most?
The funniest one I saw was, like, it was a picture, and then they had the Brazzers logo.
Like, oh, gosh.
Like, that was actually, like, really well done.
I was going to go cologne. You know, it
Bond villain. Like,
you know, Bond.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Bond back in the day. Game Time Tickets is ready for you to pop it on your phone and start buying tickets or any mobile device. Game Time Tickets is there to give you the best possible deal on virtually any event in your area. Football, basketball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Baseball. Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball. Makes tickets getting even easier and faster there because prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the pitch and the first pitch, and you get to see all-in prices. Important for me because I like not having sticker shock. You have absolutely no guesswork when you buy tickets with Game Time. You see the total up front, and of course, you also get to see views from your seat. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH, you get $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. What a day. Adam Schefter, Terrion Arnold, J.J. McCarthy, Charles Davis, Louis Riddick, Roma Dunze, and Tom Pelissero. And we can add one more. Michael Penix Jr., I Zoom with him from my hotel room first thing this morning.
Thank you.
And he had this to say when I asked him about, I believe it's me asking what he tells general managers that might be on the clock and wondering whether they should choose him or not.
If there's a team that's sitting on the clock Thursday night, kind of going back and forth, needing a quarterback, maybe they take a different position and you're that quarterback sitting there. What do you want them to know?
Yeah, like I said, man, you're going to get a winner. You know, you're going to get a competitor, you know, a guy that's going to help the team win championships, you know, and that's my goal. You know, I spoke about that whenever I came back to University of Washington for my second year. You know, I said I wanted to win the Pac-12 and I wanted to win the Natty. We got one of them. I didn't win the biggest one, so I guess I got to do it at the next level. So they'll get.
And right now, do you have a general sense? Do you think where you're going to go, or you truly have no earthly idea?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Well, that'll change soon.
He's a good kid. The entire video can be seen of the entire conversation on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/RichEisen Show. All right, you ready, Christopher?
Let's do it.
We normally do this on a Friday, but we figured we're going to do this here on a Wednesday since we have no idea what's going to happen on Thursday night, and we'll have to figure out what is more likely. It's time for What's More Likely, presented by Applebee's, the official grill and bar of the National Football League.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher, have at it.
Hey, Rich, what's up? You good?
I'm hanging in there.
TJ, you good?
Oh, I'm fantastic.
I'm wondering what's more likely
about
the draft.
What's up on a Wednesday? Hey, yeah. Who's more likely? What, we've heard everybody talk about mock draft this, your mock draft, everybody's mock drafts, speculation. Who's more likely to be drafted first? Not first overall, but just first among these two guys. Marvin Harrison Jr., does he stay? Does he go fourth? Or J.J. McCarthy, our second hour guest?
I'm still going to go Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's going to go first. Although Schefter talking in hour one, first up, saying how New England really likes McCarthy. And then JJ talking about how he had a great visit with New England.
Yep.
And how he really enjoyed meeting them. But he also said, when I asked him, who do you think is most likely, where do you think you're going to go? The same question I asked Michael Penix. He's like, I have no idea. McCarthy said, I met with the Giants twice.
Yeah. Twice.
And I know their system because, you know, our old offensive coordinator used to be in Alabama. Yep. And Alabama's the system that Daboll brings. And it's very, you know, I picked up on it. So maybe the Patriots trade out and McCarthy goes before. But I still think it's chalk and Marvin Harrison goes fourth overall to Arizona. That's what's most likely. So
I agree. You got to give Kyler a weapon, right?
I think so, too. What else you got over there, Chris?
It's an interesting thought.
It is a great
interesting
first.
Thought.
It's a very, very, it's an outstanding kickoff to what's more likely.
Okay.
Presented by Applebee's.
I love Applebee's. Yeah. Let's stay in the AFC East. What's more likely? Talking Patriots here. Patriots trade down and still draft a quarterback, or the Bills trade up for a wide receiver.
I'll go Bills trade up for a wide receiver. That's more likely.
I agree with you.
That's more likely. I don't think the Patriots are going to trade down and still draft a quarterback. I don't think they can run that risk. I think they've got to walk out of the door with the quarterback, and the only question is who are they going to take third overall? Is there an argument in the building for Drake May, or who is the one? Is it Pelissero saying, or is it, no, it was Lewis Riddick who's like, or is, no, it's Charles Davis. I'm sorry, we have all these.
So many people.
I think it was Charles Davis. Like, Bob Kraft loved Tom Brady. Where do you go?
Right.
No, Michigan. So
well, it was Adam Schefter who said a lot of people like J.J. McCarthy in the Patriots building.
So I don't think they can run the risk. They can't run the risk, so I think it's more likely the Bills trade up for a wide receiver.
Oh, man.
What else, sir?
All right, here we go. What's more likely? More defensive players taken in the top 15.
Okay.
Or trades for a quarterback in the top 15.
I think trades for a quarterback in the top 15 will be one. And I think drafted defensive players in the top 15 will be more than one. And I think it's the two Alabama guys, Dallas Turner and our first hour guest, and Terrion Arnold, are good guesses. I think there's going to be more defensive players taken in the top 15 than you think.
I think at least four.
So I will go. Well, that's a large number, but I'll go defensive players taken in the top 15.
Okay, that's pretty fun.
Trades for quarterback.
All right, this one's kind of fun. How about this one? More quarterbacks drafted by the AFC West or Georgia players taken in the first round?
Well, it's Bowers and what, McConkey?
Maybe McConkey sneaks in the back end of the first round.
I'll go with NFC, AFC West teams drafting quarterbacks. I think it's Penix and Nix. Nix and Penix. Maybe, I don't know what the order is, but I think the Broncos are going to walk out with Nix, and I think the Raiders walk out with Penix, and I think that will eclipse more than just Brock Bowers being taken.
Okay. I think there's three Bulldogs going in the first
round. Three Bulldogs? Oh, you Bulldogs. Like Mims in the first round then,
you
too.
Know.
If he's not wearing a star on the side of his helmet by the time our show hits on Friday, I would tune in to the Roku channel, people.
Well, it's only going to depend on who we do pick. But,
okay.
You know.
What else, Chris?
All right, last one. More likely to be the higher total. Michigan players Jim Harbaugh drafts in the whole draft.
In the whole draft.
Or lower seeded teams to win a first round NBA playoff series.
So, interesting. Okay. I think Harbaugh is going to walk out with Corum and Sanderstall.
Okay.
So that's two.
That's two.
Okay. And so lower seeds, the Mavericks. Sorry.
Tied it up last night, TJ.
Bro. That's an L, let me tell you.
Bro, they tied up the Clippers and then the Pacers and the Bucks.
The Pacers and Bucks tied it up.
I'll go, damn it. I'll go Harbaugh, Michigan. I'll go Harbaugh, Michigan. I'm going to go that Jim can't quit a couple of his Wolverines.
And why would he?
One of them won't be J.J. McCarthy, which is the craziest rumor I've heard in my 18 years of being out of draft and 21 years of covering one. That the odds of the Chargers choosing
moved.
A quarterback fifth overall are dropping. It's crazy. That's nuts. That ain't happening. That is definitely, in terms of what's more likely, that's the least likely I've ever heard in 21 years of happening in a draft. But I'll go Harbaugh not quitting a couple of Wolverines.
All right.
Celebrate the NFL draft. But by the way, that was What's More Likely, presented by Applebee's, the official grill and bar of the National Football League. Celebrate the NFL draft with 20 free boneless wings with any $40 online purchase from Thursday, April 25th through Saturday, April 27th. It's the start of a delicious partnership between Applebee's and the NFL. What a great full first day.
Yeah, this was awesome.
Here in Detroit, Michigan. Again, like I told you, you're interested in the draft, and who isn't? You're going to find out pretty much every question you need answered through today's show, which re-airs on the Roku channel as soon as we are done. Also, if you missed anything, there's our podcast for you to check it out wherever you want for your ear gate. It's on demand thanks to Cumulus Podcast, through Cumulus Podcast, all 3 hours. And there's our YouTube page, youtube.com/RichEisen Show. I want to thank Adam Schefter, Terrion Arnold, JJ McCarthy, Charles Davis, Louis Riddick, Roma Dunze, and Tom Pelissero. On tomorrow's program, first up, we're moving the sticks. Daniel Jeremiah, hey, he's got DJ. His mock draft tonight.
Oh.
And so last year, he predicted appropriately that the Texans would take C.J. Stroud at two and then move back up to go to number three with Arizona to take Will Anderson. And that's exactly what happened. And no one else was saying that.
How do you know that?
Because his ear's to the ground, man.
Superhuman.
His ear is to the ground. So I can't wait to see what he says tonight. And then obviously we'll discuss it with him on tomorrow's show. Mike Greenberg and Reese Davis are here together. So all three, if you will, hosts of the NFL draft on all three family of networks, NFL Network, ESPN, and ABC will be here together. Brian Kelly of LSU football, talk about Jaden Daniels, will be here. Kurt Warner, my Pro Football Hall of Fame friend, and Lincoln Riley of USC football, and we're always adding guests as well. So great job, gentlemen.
Thank you. Rich.
This was awesome.
Busy, busy day. Went fast.
I know. And so if you missed it, J.J. McCarthy gave his video that his father shot on a camcorder the day he was born. He and his mom were going through what they were going to call him, and then he said his son J.J. was going to be his future little quarterback.
Little quarterback.
I mean, it's dusty. It was dusty in here for that. So I want to thank you guys, and I want to thank everybody here in Detroit. We will see you from Detroit on Thursday on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.